Let's continue reading verses 1 through 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have a description and some details of the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Once again, some background notes. The day of the Lord is a new subject that the Apostle Paul begins here in chapter 5 of his letter to the Thessalonians. Now, we know there were no chapter divisions in the original letter, but here the chapter break comes at a good place because a new topic is being discussed, namely the day of the Lord. Although the day of the Lord is related to the rapture because it's related to the return of the Lord, it's not the same as the rapture. The rapture is distinct and precedes the day of the Lord. We've seen that the doctrine of the rapture of the church was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Remember verse 15 of chapter 4, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." That's why the rapture is called a mystery in 1 Corinthians 15:51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." A mystery in the New Testament is not something mysterious, but it's rather doctrine that was concealed in the Old Testament, but now revealed in the New Testament. So the rapture is referred to as a mystery. But the day of the Lord is never referred to as a mystery. The day of the Lord is well known from the pages of Old Testament scripture. That's one reason why the Apostle Paul writes in verses 1 and 2, "But concerning the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." And remember, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority." In other words, since the church is leaving at the rapture, we don't have to be concerned about the details of the day of the Lord as if it's going to overtake us. I think you can see where the Apostle Paul is coming from as he moves from the doctrine of the rapture now into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the doctrine of the day of the Lord. As we examine the Old Testament prophetic texts concerning the day of the Lord, we find that the prophets all looked forward to a day of the Lord in the end times. Although there have been precursors of this future day of the Lord in history, the ultimate day of the Lord is still future. And as we further study the Old Testament prophecies about the day of the Lord and our Lord's Olivet Discourse concerning the future, we see that this future day of the Lord will include a time of great tribulation before the Lord returns to this earth and a great time of blessing after the Lord returns to this earth and judges the nations. This is all part of the day of the Lord. Listen to the way our Lord puts it in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So the part of the day of the Lord before his return in glory to this earth is called the tribulation. And the part of the day of the Lord after his return to this earth in glory is called the millennium, based on Revelation chapter 20, which says the Lord's earthly kingdom will be for 1,000 years. Now, we believe the rapture precedes the day of the Lord, both the tribulation part and the kingdom part. In fact, we believe this is exactly what's being taught here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for the first half of this chapter. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the day of the Lord will not come like a thief in the night for Christians. The day of the Lord will not come like a thief in the night for Christians. Verses 2 through 5 once again. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now these verses deal with the tribulation and judgment aspect of the day of the Lord. When the Lord returns to this earth, he will return in judgment. Read the Olivet Discourse in this connection. Remember Matthew 24 and 25, or Mark 13, or Luke 21. It's only after the judgment of unbelievers living in that day that the blessing of our Lord's kingdom on earth takes place. Now notice the contrast between the unbelievers who will be judged at that time and the Thessalonian believers. The unbelievers are of the night and darkness, and they say, peace and safety, verse 2, and sudden destruction will overtake them like a thief in the night. But not you, verse 4, not you, the Thessalonian believers, and this certainly applies to us as well. We are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. We will not be overtaken by the judgment of the day of the Lord as a thief in the night, because we are sons of the day, and we will not be here for that night of judgment. Remember in chapter 4, Paul has explained why we will not be here, because the doctrine of the rapture of the church. The church will not be here on this earth when the tribulation judgments of the day of the Lord take place. We will be here for the kingdom and its blessings, however, because we return with the Lord when he comes back to this earth. Look back at chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. We can only return with the Lord to this earth after the tribulation when he comes, if we have not been here during the tribulation. The logic is simple. Matthew 24, verse 29 says that the Lord comes back in power and glory to this earth after the tribulation. And we see from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, and other passages that we come back with him. If he comes back after the tribulation, and we come back with him, we cannot be here during the tribulation. The logic is simple. So the day of the Lord will not come like a thief in the night for Christians. Doctrinal point number two. The day of the Lord will not be a day of wrath for Christians. The day of the Lord will not be a day of wrath for Christians. Do you remember back in chapter 1, verse 10, we read that believers are to wait for God's Son from heaven. Look back at chapter 1, verse 10. Believers are to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We said then that this verse implied the imminent return of Christ for his church, and that the church would be delivered from all wrath in the future. Not only wrath from hell, all wrath of God in the future, including the wrath of the 7-year tribulation period that's to come on this earth during the coming day of the Lord. Here in chapter 5, we have the same truth taught. Look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The context of this chapter, as we've seen, is the judgments of the day of the Lord when sudden destruction shall come upon the unbelievers, and no one will escape the wrath of God. Verse 3. But believers are not appointed unto this wrath. Verse 9. The package of salvation for believers not only includes salvation from the wrath of God in hell, but salvation from all wrath of God, including the tribulation period of the future. And make no mistake about it, the coming tribulation period is not just hard times on this earth, it is the wrath of God on this earth. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, concerning the tribulation period. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on this earth. But the church is delivered from all wrath of God. The day of the Lord will be a day of wrath, but not for Christians. Practical application from this first half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's stay awake and be watching. Let's stay awake and be watching. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watch? Watching for what? Well, remember the overall context is the return of the Lord, beginning with verse 13 of chapter 4 and moving right on here into chapter 5. In other words, Paul is saying, in view of the fact that Christians are all sons of light and will not face the judgments of the day of the Lord, but rather be raptured home to heaven before that time, therefore, watch for the return of the Lord for his church. It could be at any time. Let me ask you this morning, are you watching? It's easy to fall asleep, and we're vulnerable to attack. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why we need to put on the full armor of God. Verse 8. So let's stay awake and be watching. Part of what it means to stay awake is to encourage and edify fellow believers. Verse 11. Now, for those of us who may be sleeping and not watching for the Lord's return as we should be, verse 10 is a very encouraging verse. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. How is that verse encouraging? Well, the words for wake or sleep here are the same words that are used for watch or sleep in verse 6. It's not the word for sleep that's used in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, meaning death. So what verse 10 is saying is that all believers, whether or not they're watching for the Lord's return, will not go through the wrath of the day of the Lord. There's no partial rapture that only the believers who are watching and waiting go with the Lord when he returns. This is a great verse for the pre-tribulational rapture position. All true Christians, spiritual and carnal or worldly, will take part in the rapture. But how much better to stay awake and be watching. Let's stay awake and be watching.